the morale in Gur Aryeh in Parshas Bahaloischa. So the morale over there deals with the question. Psukim say that Moshe Rabbeinu heard Klal Yisrael Boichel Mishpachosav. They were crying in the families. So Chazal say, Rashi brings Al Iske Mishpachosav Shenesu Lehem and the Rias with Shenesu Lehem. Which you have to understand what that means. I mean, you know, before Matan Torah, they married. You know, Amram married Yocheved. Yocheved was his father's sister, which is an heir of the Raisa. Okay, so they're married to their wives. And let's assume that wasn't extraordinary. They're married to their wives, and here they are, Matan Torah, and listen, the fellow, you know, well, you can't be married to your aunt. So he has to divorce his wife. This has been his wife for 40, 50, 60 years. All of a sudden, this fellow has to divorce his wife. So they're boichel mishpachosav. They're crying. Right, that's what the pasuk says. So the morale tells Akasha, we don't understand, but the Maisa, Klal Yisrael was Megayer B'Shas Matan Torah. And Gershon is Kekatan Shener L'Dami. And if it's Kekatan Shener L'Dami, so there's always a variety. So, because they're not related. So what's the problem? Why do they have to divorce them? Or why were these Arayas also? Now, there are Yisurim Drabbanon of Arayas. You know, Arayas, which are also to a Ger, when he was a Goy, are also, when he comes to Yisrael, also made Drabbanon. But that Pasha, that wasn't in place yet. And we're talking about the Psukim, we're talking about the Arayas, which are also to Arayas. But also to go to the Gres of Gedila, why were they also? That's Maral's Kash. Let's go all the good Kash. So morale says that halacha, that a ger shen iskar is kekatan shen eladami, and therefore there's no issur arayas, only applies to a geris which is done on a person's own volition. But a geris which is done by korchai, which normally isn't good, would not accomplish that. But since by Matan Torah, Klal Yisrael is told that Bershom takes the har kegigas over them and says, if you do a tshuva, good. If not, shom take veraska. So that geris was done under duress. A geris under duress does not have the power of kekatan shener l'dami, and therefore the rise is still lost. That's what the morale says. So the Ksois, in his Hakdama to Shom Shmaitza, quotes this morale in Ger Aryeh. So the Hakdama to Shom Shmaitza is a gadatza. So he quotes the and he says that, what does it mean? So he quotes a different morale. The morale says, the way he understands the morale, Kavlim Harkigigas doesn't mean physically that there's a har over their head. It doesn't actually even mean that they were forced. It means Klal Yisrael was raised to a madrega to understand they can't live without the Torah. Klal Yisrael came to the understanding that they have no choice. There's no two options in front of them. It wasn't quite, now, it was due to their madrego understanding. They realized that they have no choice. Torah is mukrach to them. They fit the Torah. So the Ksoi says like this. He says, the act of Geirus is a person moves from nation A to nation B. He moves from point A to point B. That movement from point A to point B, becoming part of Klal Yisrael, changes the person, because he's a different person than what he was before. He was part of A, now he's part of B. So that changes him, and therefore there's no arayas which are us, and there's no relations which are us. But when Klal Yisrael understood that their mahus, their being, was such that fit them perfectly, and therefore they had accepted the Torah, there was no real change. That wasn't a real change from point A to point B. That is them. This is the definition of what they are. Therefore, there was no act of, there wasn't a change. Therefore, there was no din of kekatan shener l'dami. That's how the Shmaitza explains the Maral. So the Shmaitza weiter. So the Alshach says that the pasuk says in Paloischa Hasafsu Shebekibo Hisavu Ta'avo. They desired Taiva. Now it sounds like a pretty strange thing. The Klal Yisrael, the Safsu Shebekibo Tupshatim and Chazal, it's referring to the lowest, referring to the highest. Let's say it's referring to the highest of Klal Yisrael. The Safsu, those are the end. They're always the end. Like remember the pinnacle. Desired Taiva. Of all taiva, they want a taiva. What do they want taiva for? So the Al-Shuk says that Hisavu, they desired a item. He said, no, they desired to have taiva. Because the Bereshim had taken away their taiva. The Matan Torah had taken them away. They had no physical desire. They had no desire for anything in the world. Which was indicative, Zakhtik Shmaitza, of the fact that their Geirus was not done on their own volition. They wished to be like Adamarishan. I have a taiva. I have a desire. And I choose the right thing. That's the Gemara Gazaf. Now I'm doing it on my own. That's what I want. That's what Klaiso wanted. Klaiso wanted an opportunity to make the decision themselves to be Makabal Torah. And that's why the Hemshech Raposik is, it says, and you see that we don't have a taiva, because Haraya, Moshe, here's the next Posik, Vayishmar Moshe, you see the Geirus didn't work. That's the Hemshech Raposik, it's an awesome piece of Shemaitz, it's one little paragraph, they got all that into one paragraph, the Ksois was a Lamdan. They got all of that into one paragraph, it's mind-boggling. So they come to Purim. We can't murder Rabbi Loraisa, the Gemara says in Shabbos. But no problem. How do keep little b'me'ach ha-shverish? So comes 900 years later, approximately 900 years later, they were in Eretz Yisrael for 850 years. They were 40 years in the Midbar. They were almost 70 years in Golos Babel, right? So 850 plus 40 plus 70, closer to 950 years later. Right? And they go through this process, and they're Makabal Torah again. But here they're Makabal Torah, and they, as it were, saw a different option for themselves, because Klai Yisrael basically said, the Pesukim Yecheskel said, that Klai Yisrael said, you know what? Kadosh Baruch Hu is Megarish us. We're done with. We define ourselves as people which have defined our nationhoods by the land. Bereshit has kicked us out. He took away the base of Mikdash, which is the relationship. The Psukim in Shir Hashem told very clear about the husband and the wife. That's the relationship, which is described in Shir Hashira. And he sent us out. He took away the base of Mikdash, which means he sent us away. We have a get. So there's no relationship anymore. The pasuk in Yecheskel says the Kodesh comes and tells him that don't worry. It says Chai Noichi Num Hashem Ki Im Lo Bechem Meshrucha Beyar Chazaka Em Loich Alecha. He says, "Show me the sefer krisis that I gave to your mother. I didn't divorce her." The Klaus on their end is going. I mean, they had it from the Suda of Achashverosh. Now, if you think about that, it's a mind-boggling thing that Klaus made in the head from the Suda of Achashverosh. What was the Suda of Achashverosh celebrating? What was it celebrating? Celebrating that his calculation, 70 years are up, and the Vu of Yirmiyahu HaNavi, the Klaus, is going to go back there to Israel and rebuild the Eretz Yisrael. Didn't happen. So he was scared that up to this point, his Malchus is going to be destroyed, because once Klai Yisrael rebuilds, they're going to be the preeminent Malchus in the world, and he's going to be a nobody. And Baruch Hashem, Zok the Achashverosh, it didn't happen. No, let's celebrate. And the Jews come. And then they have a law. You want to tell me that you politically you feel you have to go? Okay, I understand that. We can argue that we understand that the Kleisel felt the need; they had to go to the Suda. What's their other option? But how do you have Hanoah from a Suda, which is to celebrate the non-rebuilding of the Beis Hamikdash and that you are going to remain in exile forever? How do you enjoy such a meal? How's the Shaykh? That's the Taina on Klai Yisrael. The only answer is Klai Yisrael did not see themselves as a nation going back there to Israel. We're done with. Taka, that's it. Golas, exile. We are now Persians. Right? We use magic carpets now. From now on, we live with, you know, we have Persian rugs. And we have Persian food, and we're Persians. No, let's celebrate. They're out. Klai Yisrael got to the point where they could perceive themselves as being outside of the realm of Torah. And from that point, they chose to be the Torah again. They realized that was a toast. That was what's extraordinary about Purim, is that the decision of Klal Yisrael, as it were, we're out, and we choose to come back in. One of them, there's a few hundred of them shut them why we wear costumes on Purim. But one of the suggested explanations of why we wear costumes on Purim is this idea. The costumes say, what did you dress up for? So there's two things. They dress up with kafiyas, they dress like Arabs. Now, Velcro Sugar wants to dress up like an Arab. Okay, nowadays, a little less because, it's a little bit scary to dress up like an Arab. But why do you want to dress up like an Arab? I remember we had a guy who wants to dress up like a punk. Like, why do you dress up like a punk? You know, so you want to dress up like an elephant, I understand. I really like the elephants. Giraffes. We've had giraffes. We've had pink panthers. We've had rabbits. But why a punk? I can relate to giraffes better than punks. You're not a behemoth. And there's no harmony that you're a behemoth. So you just look at him, I have no harmony that you're not a behemoth. Great, just look at an Arab. So maybe Taki's an Arab. Mehek Tasi, after yeah. The guy walks in as a rabbit. I don't think he's really a rabbit. I have no harmony. He's not a rabbit. Right? The guy walks in as it looks like, they put the magnet and they put the earring in, I don't know, maybe, yeah, I don't know, I can't see the magnet behind, I don't know. It's like, this Takiya Havamina. And by Motzi Purim, they take it off most times, right? It means they were Kabbal Torah. We walked out and we came back in. By Motzi Purim, by the next morning usually, right? They take off the kafiyah and they come in Shibachar again, Once in a while, a guy had a really good time. He said, Taka, maybe, I don't know, but most times not. It's a decision to come back. It's a decision, I'm there, oh, no, I'm here. What did it to them? What did it for them? What did it to them the first time? And what did it for them the second time? There's a maral in the Hakdama to Tiferes Yisrael. A beautiful maral. Maral talks about, we say in Tilum, David Melchus says in Tilum, we say it every Shabbos, he talks about the beautiful Seder of the Bria. That's how the sun works, how the moon works. And he talks about Teres Hashem Tamima, Meshivas Nofesh. And there's seven different Torahim for the Torah, which we say them in Simchas Torah. You say each one, gets a whole round of singing by each one of the seven HaKofras. So Teres Hashem Tamima, Meshivas Nofesh. Eres Hashem Nemona, Makimas Pesi. Bekud Hashem Yishor, Mesamche Lev, etc. See, he goes through all six, but what's relevant for us is this, the first, number one, number three. Teres Hashem Tamima Meshivas Nafesh. What is Simcha? What is Simcha? A person's happy. Right? So, if a person wants to look, this is the idea of Reb Moshe Schwab, Zichro Livracha, Mashgiach and Geitzet, says in a Sefer, says, stop for a moment, when were you happy? What were the moments of happiness of a person? He's besimcha. Now, of course, it's a little bit difficult to answer that question. We have to find what we mean by simcha before we can answer that question. Right. So, for argument's sake, so Merriam-Webster, right? Merriam-Webster, it's real, actually two of the people. It's Merriam-Webster, but Yeshiva guy, it's Merriam-Webster, what's her name? Right. Right? So, she says that it's really a he, okay, fine, okay. Right? That the word happiness is a feeling of contentment and well-being. It's not rejoicing. It's not sosin. Sosin is the guy who's dancing, he's excited, blah, 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 that's sosin. Simcha is a person who feels happy. I feel happy means I'm feeling of contentment and well-being. Now, what creates simcha? What is simcha? So, for instance, think of a moment you were besimcha. So, the moment the person is besimcha, the person is in a situation where he doesn't feel conflicted, doesn't feel pulled in two directions. person goes to a nice meal, there's good food, there's good friends, everything works out the way he wants to, there's no problems, he's happy. Now, if he continued doing that constantly, he wouldn't be very happy. Because at some point, you know, there's other parts that say, I've got to go to work, but I enjoy it here. And all of a sudden, he doesn't enjoy the food anymore. Because there's this other side saying, well, you gotta go learn something. He says, yeah, but I do, you know, but when you're not in a state of conflict, everything is wonderful. Teres Hashem Tamima Meshivas Nofesh. This is an idea which the Maral talks about constantly. He says that the Torah is the Seder of the Bria. The Russian created the Bria, and we spoke about this a few weeks ago. There's tremendous things going on in the Bria. And if you think about it for a moment, it's absolutely illogical and it's totally mind-boggling to think that everything functions. You know, I mentioned the deal, you know, that if you try to evacuate the greater Washington area, there's an attack on one of the governments, the main government buildings. You try to evacuate the greater Washington area, 4+ million people all going away, right? Trying to picture that, everybody driving away in their cars. Nobody's going to go anywhere very quickly. It's not going to happen. Because the amount of things which are going on are overwhelming. It's not going to happen. But that the Bria function is bigger than that. That human beings interact normally, you know, that there's so much going on which fits is mind-boggling. But Im calls that there is conflict. And not only that, more than that, in each human being there's conflict. I have different midas, I have different things pulling at me, I should be doing this, I want to do that. How much should I do this? How much should I do that? I don't know. I'm not comfortable. You know, I feel responsibilities. I feel desires. I feel this and I feel that. So the Rambam has a chelak halachas. He calls them hilchos deyos. What is hilchos? We call it hilchos midos. He calls it hilchos deyos. Why is it called midos? What does the word mida mean? Mida means measures. We're talking about kas, and we're talking about gaiva, and we're talking about anivis. Why are they midos? What's with mida? So Revolver points out that because you have to measure them. There's no meter that you should never use. Everything is needed. Right? A good recipe has a lot of different things in it. Many different spices and foods, etc. It comes together, it tastes gewaldic. But there has to be a measure. You shouldn't put too much cinnamon in because it's going to overwhelm the nutmeg. And not too much nutmeg because it's going to overwhelm the allspice. And not too much of that, it's going to overwhelm the ginger. But you have the right amount of nutmeg and ginger and allspice and cinnamon, and it tastes very good. It has to be measured properly. Who gives you the recipe? The Torah gives you the recipe. The Torah is the world of Seder. It gives you a recipe of how to deal with things. That's the Tamimus. Torah Shem Tamima, Meshivas Nofesh. Calls when I'm going into an extreme, that's dangerous. Extremes are dangerous. You fall off cliffs when you go to extremes. Person says things that he doesn't want to say. Person does things he doesn't want to do. Person could be too involved in his learning to the point he doesn't take care of his other needs, and the guy explodes. The guy has a nervous breakdown. The guy's so involved, not involved in his learning, that he's depressed all the time because he's not happy. So he feels it. How do you feel with depression? The guy's not learning anything. What does he do? He gets depressed. So what does he do? He feels his depression. With what? With eating, with hanging out, with schmoozing, doing the wrong things. Because he's at the wrong end. What gives the balance to a human being? That's the Torah. The Torah understands the human being. The Torah created the human being. Russia created the human being with the Torah. So that's Meshivas Nofesh. Bekud Hashem Yishorim Mesamchei Lev. And that creates Simcha. There's no conflict anymore. There's a clarity. The Russia is in control. That he wants you to do this much of this, that much of that. I'm not conflicted anymore. I'm supposed to eat. You should eat. No, fast all the time. No, don't fast all the time. Eat. Just eat, you know, dry bread. Shabbos. Enjoy a Suda. Yom Tov, enjoy a Suda. Purim, enjoy a Suda. Right? Adarabba, Oinig Shabbos. But it almost sounds like such a thing as Oinig. You know, the priest is the holy guy, so he, you know, he's an ascetic. I mean, supposedly. okay, so I should have, you know, Surah Shema Meshaita every single day? No. The weekdays, you should limit. And something nice? Ah, the Kavod Shabbos. I was talking with somebody who told me he got audited for his taxes, so he's a Rebbe, so part of his job is to invite Talmidim over, so it's a tax deduction. Every time you have a meal, which is for the purpose of your job, you get to take it as a tax deduction. So this guy claimed off $5,000 in meals, and doesn't look like a businessman. He's like going out to having big major meals with people, making deals with clients. He says, I invite them. I'm a rabbi, and I have people into our meals. He says, what do you have for these meals already? He says, let me explain. We have Thanksgiving dinner twice every week of the year, and more times on holidays. So the kid says, really? He says, well, the family gets together. The family gets together? I can't get my family to get together to come to me for them once a year. To come to me, they can't. They don't come to me. That's what we do. You sit there. You sit. It's a different world. They give you a simcha because they give you a clarity of what's right and what's wrong. How much to yes do here? How much to not do there? Deos, the Rambam says, you have to use your intelligence to understand the right balance of what to do with each one of them. They're midos, they're measured, they're deos, they're calculated, they're thought about. They're not automatic, whatever the mood of doing. No. Not whatever you do in the mood of doing. When the person removes those misnagdim, but a person, in some sense, perceives the world as a conflict in himself and a Kodesh Baruch Hu. And, you know, the Swarm used the idea that there's the fight between the goof and the neshama, and, you know, the one language and the one language of the Yetzer Hara and the Yetzer Tov. You know, we have all these different scenarios of the fight. And there's all, and we compare the goof to the horse and the neshama to the rider. Sometimes it's the horse, the rider leading the horse. Sometimes it's the horse running away with the rider holding on for dear life. The horse is flying down, right? Rabbi Shimon Appesdorf, in one of his books, he uses that mushal. I forget which one. It's a survival kit for him. Right? I'm from Cleveland, so he's a Clevelander. So he's driving the picture. He takes out his father gave him a present, an old thoroughbred racing horse, an old one, And they live by Shaker Boulevard. And there's this nice, Shaker Boulevard is this beautiful boulevard which has a beautiful expanse of grass in the middle between the east side and west side, okay? North side and south side. All right? So, and this horse takes the horse listens and sees this expanse of grass in front of him and says, I'm not so old. Let's have some fun. And the horse starts flying down this grass, corridor. Of course, there are crossovers in the middle. And this car is going across, and he's just flying straight at the thing. He says, this is it. It's all over. That's the body and the neshama. The goof of the neshama. Who's the rider? Is that the right way to look at it? No. It's not supposed to be a conflict. It's with the world of Mises and with the world of Deus and with the world of understanding how to use it properly, it tastes better. There's a Gemara which is the Tzad Hara, but in Betzim, the Gemara is saying a tremendous Yisoid. The Gemara in Sanhedrin says that there was this discussion that how we could really potter up every human being could be potted up from din. So, because after the person dies, so the Baruch Hashem comes to the Neshama and says, look what you did. He says, I didn't, it was the goof. Baruch Hashem says, the goof, look what you did. He says, me? Since the Neshama left me, I've been just lying flat, not doing anything. I didn't do anything. So the Neshama did it. Neshama says, well, I've been flying around like a malach since then. It's the body which did it. What do you want from me? So Morris says it's a marshal, Amshulchol marshal. There was once a king and he had this beautiful paradis and he wanted to make sure that the Sharma of the paradis. The problem was every watchman that he hired for the paradis would partake of the fruits himself because they were so luscious that you could not take partake of the fruits. So the king said, this is really, I can't do that anymore. So he hired two Sharma. One of them was lame and couldn't walk. One of them could walk, but it was blind. So he figures, the blind guy can't see the fruit, and the lame guy can't get the fruit. So they're sitting, and the lame guy said to the guy, you got to see this fruit. He said, but I can't walk. He says, the family came with aid, so the blind guy gets down, the lame guy gets on his shoulders, and they now stand up, and he gives them directions, and they walk to the trees, and they pick themselves up off the tree, and they have a great time. King comes back and says, there's some fruit missing. He says, goes to the lame, and says, I can't walk, it wasn't me. I don't go anywhere, I'm stuck in one place. Blind guy says, I can't see anything, if it wasn't me. Now the melech came tippish. See, he takes the blind guy, puts the lame guy on top, takes him to court, and judges them two together. They state, Zakh the Gemara, the Russian says to the goof, I hear your taina. Says Hashem, I hear your taina. No problem. He takes the neshama, puts it back into the goof, and he judges them together. That's what the Gemara says. What's state in the Gemara? A human being isn't a neshama. A human being isn't a goof. A human being is a combination of the two. And Horaya, we have Tchias HaMeisim. If all we are is a neshama, and that's it, what do we need Tchias HaMeisim for? Go to the Olam HaNeshamas and let us go to the Tug. Because we're not neshamas. We're a combination of a neshama and a goof. And that's our challenge, is to find that balance. And we find the balance correctly, we're besimcha. Klal Yisrael lived 70 years in Golus. Klal Yisrael lived to the point that he said, you know what, we're out. We are nobodies, we are nothing. We are not part of, there's no Klal Yisrael anymore, there's no relationship with the Kodesh Baruch Hu. It's all we are is a goof. No. HaKadosh has a Geshmak HaSuda. Let's go for it. And they came to this cheshbon that within the Bria itself, no major nisim, but in the Bria itself, the Parshim has a cheshbon for them. That the physical world is also spiritual. That clarity that they came, they got at that moment, created such a simcha. Harikiblu b'me'ach ha-shverish b'simcha. Because I didn't see, there's not a conflict anymore. The world of the Torah can exist in the physical world. Yeah, in Eretz Yisrael, Yeshikayach. You go to the Beis Hamikdash, Beis Hamikdash, it's Ruchnius. Yeah, Ruchnius, I believe in Ruchnius. I see Ruchnius. I understand Ruchnius. Golos Bavel, I mean, the Parsiim, Chazal say we're Gashmius. Bavel's problem was it had a meat of Kas and a meat of Ritzicha. Poras, it was they liked indulging themselves. You know, they were like Dibim, the Gemara says that they're like fat, like bears. You know, they're into the good life. We're Perseim, right? You know, we have our Persian carpets. You know, we're Perseim. No, we're not. It's a new understanding of Ruchnius. So the understanding of Ruchnius, the Ruchnius and Gashmius are not a steer. There are 2 days of a year that we're besimcha. Because we feel no conflict. No conflict at all. Yom Kippur. Who feels a conflict in Yom Kippur? There's no Gashmius. There's no Taifa. There's no physical. And Yom Kippur. Yom Kippur is such a beautiful day. It's like so Ruchnius. There's no conflict. I just feel I wish I could stay like this the whole year. I wish I could stay with such Ruchnis and such Geschmack and Torah and Avodah. I'd love to be like this the rest of the year. What's the conflict in Yom Kippur? And Purim? And Purim? Purim or Simcha? If you ask the word Simcha, which thing you think of in the year? You think of Simcha Torah? You think of Purim? But Simcha means that there's no conflict. So one guy says, well, no problem. I can work on that. Forget about the neshama and just live it up with the goof, you know. 26 hours, 30 hours, 36 hours, you know. And we're machmer, you know, big sheetahs, you know, like the Amshanover, you know, you lay in Megillah like Rastam, like a Tuesday this year, you know, something like that, you know, Amshanover, you know, something like that. Not in Yerushalayim, you know. We're machmer. It doesn't make you happy. It doesn't last. But the person says, my understanding of ruchnius is so clear and so overwhelming that I don't see the kuf as a stira. I don't see gashmius as a stira. Gashmius is a bar olam. What is gashmius? What is food? What is drinking? It's bar olam. Who made it? I don't see a stira. I'm big enough to understand that there's not a stira between the two things. I can use the world of gashmius to feel a kadosh baruch hu. I can use the world of gashmius to enhance my ruchnius. That's Purim. That's what Purim is supposed to look like. Just Rishon Salanter said that, you know, that Rishon Salanter's shita was, I don't know you guys hold like Rishon Salanter, most things that he held, like, you know, all of his Musar, all of his Avoid, etc. He also happens to have a shita, which is Fasemas, also happens to hold, that Chayvan Inish Lepsumim Bepurya is not a Chiyav, it's a Ptur. You Mechiyav to be Mevasim, when you get to the point of Lo Yoda, you're Potter. If you come back to your senses, you're not Potter anymore. It's a Ptur. You keep going until you get to that point, and now you're Potter. So Yisrael on Purim was dead drunk. So what happened to Yisrael Salanter when he was dead drunk? Yisrael Salanter was a Nister. Rechaim Brisker said that Yisrael Salanter was one of the three biggest Gaonim in the generation that he lived in. With the Merel Diskin, with the Beis Halevi, he was one of the three biggest Gaonim of his generation. But he didn't see that. He hid it. He's busy saying Musar Shmuzin. Right? Who says Musar Shmuzin? The Mashgiach was never, Kent doesn't know how to learn. He says the Musar Shmuzin, right? Right? That's the attitude of Yeshiva Bacher, right? Right? Because the guys attacking us how to learn came from Yeshivas. Right? Who wants to be the Mashgiach, you know? Must be, he doesn't know how to learn. So Salanter is going to be a Lamdin. He controlled himself. He held it in. But on Purim, he couldn't control himself. Because he didn't have any das. So what came out? All of the Ga'onis of Yisrael Salanter, they said to me, stood there and take notes of all the Ga'onis and Shas that he was throwing out at them on Purim. Just throwing out, again, he says, I wanted to see what my goof looks like without the Neshama telling him what to do. What does the horse look like without the rider? You call it the Bechina of the goof. It's a test. Purim is a test for the goof. So once there was a mice, he was lying there, like, you know, bound on the floor, darshaning pshat in the sugya with the kasha of the kasha on the Urbeno town. And another godel came and looked at him and says, I would never let myself get to that point, because I'm scared what will come out. If he saw Salanter, allowed himself to get to that point, because he knew what would come out would be terror. The kufa was not a steer to the Kodesh Baruch. But he said, I wasn't there. I relate to him. I wouldn't dare. I don't know what's going to come out. I'm a perfect tzaddik. I don't have parts of me that I don't want you to know, that they're not exactly the most halakha things in the world. I'm not going to let you know what's going on inside of me. That's the secret. I'm not getting drunk. No. I get drunk on Purim. Rebaran gets drunk on Purim. I don't get drunk. Right. You don't take a chance. On the other hand, taka, you see people taka do, and what comes out is a beautiful desire of the neshama to connect to Kodesh Baruch Hu. That they want to be connected. It's not a seichel thing anymore. Rebbe, I want to start learning. Hi, Rebbe, give me a bracha. Rebbe, you know, like, that's Rebbe, I want to become filthy rich. I never had that request on Purim yet. I have not had the request on Purim yet. Rebbe, I want to become a doctor. Please give me a bracha. Never had it yet. That's what Yeshiva is supposed to look like on Purim. It comes out. Rebbe, I want to be a Talmud Chacham. Rebbe, I want to learn better. Rebbe, I want to shtag. Rebbe, that's what comes out of a bachur on Purim when he gets drunk. There was one bachur I told him, I don't think you should get drunk on Purim. He said, Rebbe, I don't know what's going to come out. No, you think about that question yourself and you answer that question.
Maybe this is Pshat in the Rambam. Just end off with this Pshat in the Rambam. The Rambam says at the end of Hilchos Chanukah, talks about the conflict between Ner Chanukah and Ner Beis. Ner Beis is Odav because Ner Beis represents Sholem. Shekolat Torah Nitna Lasa Sholem Ba'Elam. Kol Nisiv Aser Sholem. All of the paths of Kadosh Baruch Hu bring to, they're created to bring to Sholem. They're moivel. They transport the person. Kol Torah is at the Rambam Nitna Lasa Sholem Ba'Elam. The whole purpose of Torah was given is to create peace in the world. Because when a human being finds the balance inside of himself how to function properly, and the next human being does it also, and the next human being does it also, we found Sholem in the world. Because there's a seder of how the world is supposed to function. And that's what the Torah represents, that ability to find the way to give the correct weight and the correct balance and the correct amount to every different part of our, my personality, which is different than yours. And the Torah has a recipe and has a message and has a way to do that also. And from that world of Shalom comes the world of the Maral, of the world of Simcha. And that's the Shalom of Purim, and that's the Simcha of Purim.